The Basketball Podcast. My name is Mark Roberts. I'm the host. And tonight I am joined by JJ Cali. JJ, how's it going?
I'm very good, Mark. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm glad I'm better now that I've got somebody to talk to. My last podcast, I went solo and it was not a great experience. So I'm glad to have somebody to bounce off of here.
And I will try to be that person best I can.
I want to introduce JJ here in a second, just a little bit better. But before we do that, I want to just send some thank yous out to some people who've helped with the podcast and helped with the website. Both Luke, who's helped with the website, and Michael, who's helped with our awesome logo. I don't think we've like formally acknowledged you guys on the podcast, but you guys have been awesome. Totally appreciate your help. I think you guys have contributed a lot to the success that we've had so far. I also wanted to thank everybody who have gone onto the website and hit donate and given us some money. We really, really appreciate that. That was very nice and helpful in getting some of the startup costs going. I've actually taken down the donate button because we have some exciting news that we're going to announce about halfway through the podcast today. But anyway, thank you again for donating. That's really awesome that you would think highly enough of the podcast to go on and share some of your hard-earned cash with us. So really appreciate it. And that's been a big help getting everything going here. If you're disappointed the donate button is gone, don't fret. You're welcome to go on and rate and review the podcast. Hit subscribe at the very least. Even if you're not going to listen every day, just hit subscribe and download. That's what really helps us out. So, all right, back to JJ. JJ is... Again, really appreciate you coming on the show, JJ. JJ is probably my favorite fantasy basketball writer. I try to read everything he writes. It's fantastic. JJ, can you just share with the listeners where they can find your work?
Certainly. I'd say hands down, my best work you'll find on chatroulette.com on the weekends, typically. Okay. But... if you want the good stuff for fantasy basketball, you can check out RotoWire. If you're a member, I write a weekly article called The Category Strategy. And if you just want to read like 3,500 word recaps from basketball, like the morning after, you can check out the RotoWire blog because that's where I do some of the stuff as well.
And is the blog, I can't remember, is the blog free?
It is completely free.
Yeah. So if you want to check out JJ Rising and you don't have a subscription to RotoWire, go to the blog and you can check out his recaps there, which are, I always laugh about as hard as I can laugh at least once or twice when I read your recaps. So
for the spelling errors or the grammatical errors?
Listen, I'm the last person that should make any throw stones at anybody making spelling or grammatical errors. No, for the awesome content, man, it's good stuff. Definitely go check it out. JJ, I'm guessing most people are familiar with your work, but just to give people a sense of a little bit of who you are, can you share with us either your favorite basketball team or your least favorite basketball team? Or if you don't have one of those, it could be a favorite or least favorite player.
I'll give you both, team and player. I'm a New York Knicks fan, have been since the mid-90s. I'm trying to remember. There was, during the 99 finals, the cable was out, and I got lucky because, I guess I got lucky, but my sister, I was at her softball game, and she slid into home. But she messed up her knee pretty badly. So we had to go to the hospital and I got to watch game 5. Even though we lost, it was probably the closest game. I still remember Avery Bradley hitting that jumper on the baseline. So I have to thank my sister for Avery Johnson. What did I say? Bradley?
Avery Bradley.
Yeah. Avery Johnson.
Which I don't care, but somebody will write in and say, hey, he said Avery Bradley was in the 99 finals.
Yeah, I purchased my last jersey that I purchased was a Stephon Marbury jersey. That was a poor choice there. and yeah, so I've kind of gone through the last 15 years And my Flyers favorite players, if anyone has seen my Twitter banner, it is, or the head top photo, it's like six players throughout the decade for the last 20 years that have been my favorite player at certain times. So you can check that out. But currently,
a little
I will
bit of
say,
a tease there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. If you care enough about those things, but currently, I would say it's probably a toss up, but I'm going to go with Isaiah Thomas. I don't like that he's on the Celtics, but he's still my favorite player to watch. And I kind of have a thing for lefties. So that's, he's right up there right now. But, do people know who your favorite team and players are?
I don't know. Did you know that I was a huge Pacers fan in the mid-90s? I don't know if we've ever discussed this.
I think there was an email sent, and cursed your name because you brought up Reggie Miller more than once.
Yeah, I was a huge – I mean, in fact, my nickname when I was growing up was Reggie. So.
Any particular reason?
Or I'm just such a big fan, I think. And it was kind of sort of unusual for the area that I was living in. There wasn't a lot of – I grew up in rural Idaho, so there wasn't like a lot of Reggie Miller fans in that particular location. So
the reason I remember him is because he taught me that reading is fundamental. That's
absolutely
pretty much,
man.
It
I think there's a whole ad campaign about him being a cool cat
who loves to read.
Yeah, I remember. Don't think I didn't watch that a bunch of times and then go read some books just because Reggie Miller told me to. We'll have to do like a retrospective on the Knicks Pacers mid-90s battles at some point. But today, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say I'm more familiar with the Knicks Heat. But yeah, Knicks Pacers probably second on the list there if we're going in terms of where I rank the rivalries.
Yeah, when you bring that up, I think of the Allen Houston bank shot, right? The hit the front rim and the banked in and went in.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. That was the year they went to the finals. They were the 8th seed.
Yeah, I remember that. The Larry Johnson. Well, we don't need to bring all this up. I just remember the 4-point play that shouldn't have counted. Anyway, what I want to talk about today here, JJ, is week 3, setting your lineup for week 3. And I think we've got some cool stuff put together that will help all the listeners set their lineups for week 3. Whether you play in a daily head-to-head league or in a weekly lock lineup league, I think we've got some good content here for you. Just to start off, what I'm showing here on the screen, what I'm showing here on the screen is the week 3 rankings that you can find at dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com. This takes into account all the injury news that we knew about, all the disparity in games played. For example, you can see Ricky Rubio here is 5th in the rankings, even though in preseason he was ranked 61st. And I'll get into why in just a second, but primarily it's because he has 5 games next week. So we're taking that all into account. And we're going to talk about guys that we think you should start, guys that we think you should sit, guys that maybe are worth picking up for the week to stream. Just to kind of set the table, I'm going to head over to #basketball.com, which has a great schedule grid. If we go there, we can click on week 3, and you can see how many games each team has. So Minnesota Timberwolves, they have 5 games next week, which is pretty rare. JJ, you're kind of a schedule guru. Do you know, like, is this the only case of somebody playing 5 games in a week this season?
No, not remotely. I think there's probably 6 or 7 more off the top of my head. Well, I mean, the schedule makers, they did a good job this year reducing all the back-to-backs and such. And the 4 games of 5 nights, but it kind of it threw off the games in a week, kind of the amount of games, because last year it was more spread out and there weren't as many 5 games in a week or 2 games in a week. But this year we're getting a lot more of that, with the spread schedule.
Yeah. But I was thinking, I don't remember a whole, maybe one last year, but that's interesting. There's going to be more, which is even more reason to pay attention to what we're sharing with you, I guess, because that does make, like, if you got a guy who's playing 5 games and you're putting him in a weekly lock league versus a guy that has 2 games, that's, I mean, it would take a huge disparity in talent to make up for the difference of those 3 games.
Yeah, and I'd say the biggest example is the Toronto Raptors. They play 5 games the first week of the standard fantasy playoffs, and then they kind of tail off after that. But throughout the season, you're going to have a bunch.
Oh,
what?
I said at some point you and I are going to have to do a playoff preview schedule podcast.
Oh, certainly.
To get everybody ready for the playoffs, because you know once you kind of feel like your team's going to make the playoffs, that's the time you need to start looking towards the fantasy playoff schedule, if not before then, I guess.
Yeah, but if in Yahoo leagues, if you're going to have that first round bye, there's no need to own Raptor because it's not going to help out anyway.
That's a good point. Very good point. And you can see there's a number of teams here that have 4 games. Let's see. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams that have 3 games. And then I think what we really need to be careful of is there are 4 teams that have 2 games only next week. The Chicago Bulls, the Miami Heat, the Phoenix Suns, the Washington Wizards. And, you know, it's going to be brilliant. I'm going to change our format here just a little bit, JJ. I want to go right into talking about these players with just 2 games next week and talk about which ones we feel like are worth playing in a standard league. Because when you've got only 2 games, that's almost insurmountable to come back from unless you have a truly elite player, at least in my opinion. What's your take generally on players that only have 2 games in a week?
I mean, we're talking about lineups that lock, right?
Yep.
Because I'm more familiar with Daily Moves lineup leagues, but
right. It
just comes down to the math, really. If you're going to have someone who plays 2 games or someone who plays 4 games, you generally go with the guy who plays more games, so then you have more minutes and more opportunity for stats. So I think it's pretty simple.
Yep. And you set me up pretty well there, JJ. I did the math for a standard league, and here are the rankings. So this is a tab in here that is 2 game players. So these are players that are projected to play just 2 games next week primarily from those 4 teams, the Bulls, Heat, Suns, and Wizards. And I only came up with 1 guy that would rank in my top 100, and that was John Wall. So, I mean, he's so elite at assists and steals. I don't think there's any way you can not lock him into your weekly lineup, even if he's only got 2 games. He's the only guy on those 4 teams, though, I came up with that you need to put in your lineup no matter what. The other guys that are close, Eric Bledsoe is close. Hassan Whiteside is close. And if you're trying to win blocks, he's probably worth, you know, even in 2 games, he might get you 6 blocks. And maybe that's valuable enough that you go ahead and put him in. But other than that, I think those are primarily the guys that you're looking towards playing. Is there anybody else that you kind of see just looking at the list on the screen that you feel like you would put into a weekly lock league you feel like is a must play even though they only have 2 games?
Oof. Let's see. No, Drogic has been struggling. Wade, he's kind of on and off.
Wade would worry me anyway because, like, you always have that fear that he might sit out. And then you're getting 1 game, which is sort of a disaster.
I think those concerns aren't as great this week with 2 games, unless he gets injured in the first one. And then we kind of have to think about that.
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, when players have 2 games, they're less likely to sit out.
Right.
And probably they have vice versa with the 5 games.
And then they tend to have more days of rest, and then they can recuperate better, and then they can have better performances. I guess that's kind of what you would think, but I will say the top 3 guys, I guess, are your best bets. I was looking at the schedule and let me pull it up over here. John Wall gets to play against the Magic in 1 of his games. I don't know if you remember, but that opening night game against the Magic, he almost had a 5-by-5 game against them. Bledsoe gets to play
watching that game, but I did not realize he did so well in that game.
Yeah, he was 2 steals away from a 5-by-5. And Bledsoe, he gets the Clippers this week and the Nuggets, and the Clippers might be without Chris Paul. So there's a chance he can go off there. And then Hassan Whiteside gets to play against the Lakers. So there's a chance for a triple-double in the mix. So you it's the Lakers on the one end and then the Jazz on the other. So he's going to be in the middle by the end of the week.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. Now, sorry for that. That was a little bit of a digression, but again, like if you have somebody on those 4 teams, be very careful about who you put in. It's always surprising to me how far players fall down the rankings once they only have two games in a week. So again, the only guy that I think is a must start in a weekly lineup league of those four teams is John Wall. Anybody else probably can be subbed out if you have an option that you feel like is better. Which I guess no matter what, if you feel like you have an option that's better, you can sub them out. But I doubt that you'll have an option that's better than John Wall. Now back to the rankings as a whole, JJ. I shared with you these rankings before the show, and you went through them, and you had some observations, and I was hoping that you could, you know, share them with us, and we could learn from your wisdom.
Certainly. I was looking at the news earlier today and kind of comparing how many games you projected each player for versus how many they might play this week. So I was kind of – that's going to obviously affect where they come out in the rankings.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of them are within that top 100, whether they play three or four games. Now, DeMarcus Cousins, he's projected to return this week for the Kings, and they play four times. But I'm also kind of wondering about Darren Collison. I don't remember seeing him on the list at all. I know the hamstring injury, they said it was going to be a problem, and then they listed him day-to-day. So I'm not sure where he comes out. I wouldn't feel comfortable starting Collison, but I would feel good starting Cousins this week. And I think that's – I think you might feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I think – I appreciate that note on Cousins. I mean, we haven't seen him back yet, and so I kind of just felt like I didn't feel like it would made sense to give him the full four games, even though it's projected that he gets back soon. But still, look, I mean, he comes in 19th in our rankings. I can't imagine a scenario where somebody has 10 players ranked higher than Cousins, even there. And if you do, they're going to win their week regardless, right? So,
yeah.
Collison, I mean, he's an interesting case. So when he got injured, they said it didn't look good and that he was out indefinitely. And then the news came out that he's day-to-day. So if you're wanting to, I kind of feel like he's a borderline guy anyway. He's played well, but as a guy in a fluid rotation that isn't a starter, I feel like things could go either way. I do understand there's a scenario where he gets a lot of minutes. I also can see a scenario where he loses minutes for whatever reason. And then with this injury, that scares me too. So I would not be playing Collison unless you were sure that he was going to play in the very next game. But if there's any sort of doubt that he might sit out, I would go ahead and put him on my bench. What else you got for us, JJ?
Collison has been confirmed out for the first game. So at most he will play three this week if he does come back.
And I at that point, I'm too nervous. I'm taking him out of my lineup because I don't want it to be Friday and he's still day-to-day and we're not sure. And then you maybe get one game or zero games out of that slot where he's still, like I said, I kind of feel like he's a fringe guy anyway.
Well, I will try and stick up for him. I know that he, before the last game where Rondo played 44 minutes, Collison was playing more minutes than Rondo per game. And he was like one of three players on the Kings that was above 30 because him and Rondo will play next to each other and then they'll send Rondo to the bench and bring Collison off. But I definitely understand the concerns when it comes to playing him this week.
Yeah. And what I mean by now, fringe, I guess, is all I'm saying is I feel like that rotation is in flux enough that I don't feel comfortable guessing at what George Karl's going to do 4 or 5 days from now with the rotation. And I recognize that could be very good for Collison because he has played well. You know, maybe they start him. Who knows? Or maybe for whatever reason, Karl starts playing him 18 minutes a game.
All right. Let me check the schedule. I know they started Collison against the Suns last week because of the 2-point guard matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, it looks like they're not going to have the same kind of – so, yeah, it wouldn't even matter this week, I don't think, because they'd be going against Caldwell Pope, Joe Johnson, and DeMar DeRozan, so that wouldn't be possible. All right, so shifting back now.
Yeah.
This one kind of came down the pipe. Damari Carroll battling plantar fasciitis, which is, I believe, different than plantar fascia. And it's possible. I remember last year, J.R. Smith had the same injury and he took about 2 weeks off and then returned and then got traded and then he started to play well. I think we're at a point where Carroll could take some time off. I know he played through that knee injury in the playoffs, but that's kind of different. I think with this one, you kind of want to sit off it because if I remember the description of it, I think it was like getting stabbed in the heel every time you step. And I'm not sure if he's feeling the same exact pain, but he didn't play today, and they started James Johnson, and I feel like Carroll is going to sit for at least a week, maybe a little more than that.
Yeah, I think that's a good observation. And I'm certainly not medically inclined, but I do know this particular injury is very, very painful to try to play through. And I don't know why they would try to make him do that this early in the season. I think you would just go ahead and get him some rest and get him healthy before he gets back on the season, back playing. Although I think the deal with plantar fasciitis is, unless you take a lot of time off, I don't know that it totally heals. So this could be a case where he just has to kind of manage it throughout the season, or they give him a lot of time off. I won't get too much more into the medical. I'm kind of stretching myself thin on the medical side as it is. So
hey, we have a Jeff Stotts online too. Is he
gonna come off? I wish.
Let's see.
No promises, but
yeah, the Raptors play 11 more games this month. You figure he takes 2 weeks off max. That's 8 games. I mean, if he's going to declare himself out, you figure he gets to be on the injured reserve list on your fantasy team, and then you can pick someone up. Right. That kind of be the best case scenario. But if they're going to label him day to day, then it's going to be tough, tough sledding.
So what if he is out 2 or 3 weeks? Do you feel like he's good enough to keep on your roster anyway, or do you feel like people would be okay to go ahead and drop him?
I think he's deserved the right to wait it out, but I know there are people who probably either auto drafted him or are kind of on the fringe and don't want to deal with it now. And we're only 2 weeks into the season. I think if I owned him, I would hold on. And if someone dropped him, I would throw in a waiver claim for him. But yeah, he's, when he does get declared out, or if I'm talking about like it's a certainty, but if he decides to even sit, then I don't want to see a day to day kind of thing. I want to see a definitive 1 or 2 weeks.
Right. Okay. Do you see anything else interesting? I know that you saw some other interesting things. What else did you see as you look through the rankings?
Well, now that you mention it, Jay Crowder, I think he had the knee problem going on. I don't recall. But he's expected to play tomorrow, which is Monday. And Marcus Smart, he's returning too from, the concussion? I don't even remember. That's my fault. I know that, he had a toe. He had inflamed toe, I think. Yeah. So he's been out the last two games. So those two are going to return to the lineup, and now when they're back, it's going to mess up the rotation even more, because in the last couple of games we've seen, Sullinger and Amir Johnson starting, and Isaiah Thomas as well. So I think the plan is for Thomas to go back to the bench, because I read today that Stevens said that he hadn't noticed anything different at all. Like there's nothing he learned from using him in the starting lineup versus using him off the bench. So, and he wasn't trying to be derogatory or anything. He was just saying he knows what kind of player Thomas is. Mm-hmm. But this is going to hurt Evan Turner, who's probably going to see a reduced role. I think he's probably like outside your top 140. So I don't remember. But I was looking at the differences in when Marcus Smart played versus when Smart didn't play. Turner was getting 25 minutes a game when Smart was out, because Thomas was coming off the bench, and then he was kind of the backup facilitator along with Terry Rozier. So it's going to be a lot of havoc in Boston this week when those two return and start taking minutes from other guys. I'm assuming you kind of are done with them in a sense.
With Evan Turner or the Celtics rotation?
The whole Celtics situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of like Jay Crowder. I feel like he's getting enough playing time this year that he can be useful. Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley are sort of consistent. Now you kind of feel like everybody else I don't want any part of because they're just too unreliable. And I guess what I'm saying is Brad Stevens is too unreliable to put those type of players in my lineup. It's just too deep and changes game to game. But I do think there are a few reliable pieces in there. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas is probably their best player, and he's going to be – he's like almost minutes proof, really. Like, you can play him almost any amount of minutes, it feels like, and he's going to put up fantasy value. And then those other guys are getting enough minutes. I think they have some value, but generally I do try to steer clear of Celtics players.
Oh yeah. I've been trying to like push this, nickname for Brad Stevens for like the last 4 months. So okay. Maybe you can help me out here.
Give it to
us. Are you familiar with, Disney show from the early 2000s, Even Stevens?
Yes.
Yes, I want to nickname Brad Stevens Even Stevens because of his rotations. So if we can start pushing that, I'd be ecstatic.
So even minutes for everybody.
Yes.
Gotcha.
That's all right, the one.
Yeah, I like it. I'll totally support that.
Me too.
The other guy you mentioned, and I think we got a story out from Woj today about Brooke Lopez. There were some concerns about his foot and him having to have some tests on his foot. It seems like he has been cleared to play. I think that they have 3 games this week. So, get him in your lineup. If you have Brooke Lopez and he's been cleared to play, I think you want to get him in your lineup. Just in case. I mean, I guess I'm saying is you don't want to waste any healthy Brooke Lopez games. Obviously not predicting an injury, but you don't want to have him on your bench when he's healthy, because in the future, very well could be an injury to deal with. So get him back into your lineups, right? Do you have any concerns?
Correct.
After that?
No, he has today off, Monday and Tuesday, and they don't go back to play until Wednesday. So, he's been cleared to play. So there should be no hesitation at this point.
Okay. And maybe I want to just jump ahead in your notes to one player that I got a lot of questions about. It's and we can go over to this pickup tab of players to maybe pick up. Nemanja Bjelica, I think is how I pronounce his name. Maybe that's not right. He had a very good game on, I believe it was Saturday night. He had 17 points, 11 rebounds in like 41 minutes. And a lot of people were really excited to pick him up. What's your take on Bjelica?
I picked him up last night in a 12-team head-to-head league just because the Timberwolves played 5 games this week and I had a roster spot to burn. Yeah. He's the primary backup power forward in Minnesota. Gorgui Dieng is the backup center. Gorgui Dieng and Karl-Anthony Towns have played 4 minutes together all season, and Towns has been limited by foul trouble. So I feel like Bjelica is also, I mean, just to jump all over the place, the Timberwolves play 2 back-to-backs this week, and we don't know how.
Is that their first back-to-back?
Yeah, so we're going to learn how they're going to sort of manage Kevin Garnett this week, and if they decide to rest him on 1 or 2 of those games, Bjelica probably slides up into – I mean, I don't want to make Sam Mitchell's rotation for him, but I think he would promote Bjelica to starting power forward.
People that would like you to make his rotation for them, but he's basically playing the starters, close to the starters minutes with Garnett playing a backup role. It's just that that's not who starts the game, it feels like to me.
Oh yeah. But you, like, all right, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's pretty much an even split between Bjelica and Garnett in terms of minutes. And Bjelica is like somewhere between 26 and 28 minutes a night, I think.
Has Garnett been a little more that high? Garnett seems like he's been more in the low 20s, I thought.
Yes, I have to double check that now.
No, that's anyway, I think the point is – I think the gist of what I'm getting from you is that Bjelica, you don't seem super high on his prospect season long. And that's kind of how I feel about him is, you know, he played 41 minutes and he only took like in that game. And I realize I'm nitpicking a little bit. He only took 9 shots in 41 minutes. You know that he can get some rebounds. I don't think the scoring is going to be there. He doesn't have a lot of other productive categories. So I think the play here is you pick him up for his five games this week. You stream him through and just see. I think we'll know a lot more about him by the end of the five games. But I don't think he's like a must own or a must add or anything. I just don't know that the production is definitely going to be there. Obviously, he's talented and Minnesota wants him to succeed. But I think there's a very good chance that everybody who's rushing to pick him up will drop him. But yeah, with that said, this is the time to give him a shot when he has five games a week. It's almost it's going to be hard for him to fail in the five games he's got.
Yeah, I fully intend to drop him midway through the week once I can get Terrence Jones off my injured reserve. So he's kind of plays two games Monday, Tuesday, then again on Thursday when there's three games. So he's I want to see what he has and how they kind of deal with Kevin Garnett, and then we'll go from there.
Exactly. And here's some other players that rank highly. So this kind of transitions to another thing I wanted to talk about. Here's some players that rank highly in our weekly ranks that are owned in less than half of ESPN leagues. So Bleacha is only owned in 5% of ESPN leagues. That will probably change relatively quickly. But there are other players that rank in the top 100 that are not owned in it too. TJ McConnell. I know you watch your fair share of Sixers games. What have you thought about him so far?
He's a much better point guard than Isaiah Cannon. It's like kind of night and day with them. And now he's making all the right passes and playing defense. But when I was going through your rankings before, it kind of hit me. This guy hasn't attempted a free throw yet this year. Do you think this is the week he finally gets one or no?
That's a great question. We should have like a countdown till his first free throw. He's very, I mean, it seems like you can tell by his free throw attempts and his point totals. He's very conservative, I guess, as far as trying to get his own points. You love the rebounds. You love the assists. You love the steals. And so I think, with four games, he's worth picking up. And actually, you mentioned Isaiah Cannon. I think Isaiah Cannon doesn't lose fantasy value, but maybe gains it in his move to the bench. I think he plays better as not the primary distributor. That's clearly not what he is, but where he can come off the bench and shoot a bunch of three pointers, I think he's going to be just as valuable as he was before. And he's had a couple of good games since McConnell's moved into the starting lineup, which I think only solidifies McConnell's position in the starting lineup. But he's 33rd in our rankings. So if there's a must add, he's only owned in 22% of leagues. If you're in the other 78% of ESPN leagues, go pick him up.
Yeah, I will add that if you own Jahlil Okafor or Nerlens Noel, you want McConnell playing because he has that kind of effect just with the passes he's able to make and where he leads guys. I was looking up the field goal percentage on and off with McConnell for those guys. Uh-huh. Okafor is at 64%. Nerlens is at 52% with McConnell on. And then with McConnell off, Okafor is at 39% and Nerlens is at 30%. So he makes a big impact on the offense there.
That's a huge disparity.
Yeah.
That's hard to even believe.
That's the difference between Isaiah Cannon and TJ McConnell. That's very good news once Kendall Marshall returns for Okafor and Noel because he's still coming back from that torn ACL, but he's a depth passer, but doesn't have the defensive capabilities that McConnell does. So they're going to have 48 minutes either way of both those guys.
So you probably track the 76ers more than most people do. What's your feeling on long-term prospects? Do you think there's a, like, if you could put a percentage on it, how likely do you think it is that McConnell holds on to the starting job in Philadelphia? And I realize that's a difficult question to answer. But I'm wondering if you have any sort of read on it.
I don't, but I'm gonna go with it and see what happens. I'd say that they signed Marshall with the strict intent of playing him and starting him when he's available. So when he returns from injury, they might start to give him some minutes off the bench, and then eventually promote him into the starting lineup. And then you also have to worry about Tony Roten sneaking minutes when he's healthy, and that's going to come closer to December. But right now, I think because here's the other thing. The Sixers have 16 players on their team because of the hardship exception that they had to use on Phil Pressey. So once they cut Pressey, use Marshall, who comes back. I feel like he's the eventual starter for this team because he can shoot. I feel like that's something that McConnell does not want to do right now, like you mentioned. And it's going to help out the – like, you can run out a lineup with Marshall, Stauskas, Covington, and then surround them with Noel and Okafor. I think you'll be pretty good.
Right. I think it's that Okafor-Noel combination in the front court that necessitates a point guard that can shoot. Because you just can't – it's hard to run an NBA offense with three guys on the court who don't have any range. Some of the other pickups just on our list, some players that fit in nicely inside our top 100 that are owned in a small percentage of the league. Kent Bazemore's ownership's getting up there. He's 71st in the rankings. Costa Kufis, even in limited minutes, is 76th this week. He's probably not going to get you 10 points a game, so don't go in with high expectations. But between the rebounds and the blocks and the amount of games he has, he probably should be able to help you out if you need help in that sort of a category. Let's see, Avery Bradley, Myers Leonard is a pretty interesting one. You know, he has sort of a high ceiling. He's only owned in 17% of leagues. He has four games this week. So if you wanted to take another shot on him, I think this is a good week to do it. And I'm kind of looking at the other names here. There's nobody else I really feel strongly about mentioning. Is there anybody else on this list that you want to talk about, JJ?
Myers Leonard is reminding me of Channing Frye. And that
in a good way or a good person.
Is in a fantasy value way. He'll have good percentages, not going to rebound a lot, block a lot of shots, get a lot of steals, score some points. So haven't been impressed. I'm looking at tonight's box score. 17 points, 2 rebounds, 3 of 5 from 3. So, I mean, Channing Frye at his peak was top 75 NICAD value, and that's kind of what you're hoping for with Myers Leonard this year, I think.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Next thing I want to talk about, JJ, is I want to get into the guys who are owned in a lot of ESPN leagues, but are ranking pretty low in our rankings, even though they're not only playing more than two games. So it's not just a function of them having a limited amount of games. But first, I want to share with you a message from our friends at No Halftime, NoHalftime.com was kind enough to sponsor our podcast. So we're very excited to have a note to read from them. So, you know, JJ, say you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players rather than his entire team. Maybe you've faced this before, JJ.
I do it every day.
Yeah, but normal fantasy sports services don't allow you to do that. But now with the all new No Halftime app, you can. The No Halftime app allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams. For example, if you like football, you can pit Odell Beckham Jr. versus Megatron. In the NBA, you could put LeBron James versus Carmelo Anthony. Or in baseball, you could do Mike Trout versus A-Rod. Creating a challenge that takes seconds and accepting challenges is even easier. No Halftime challenges can be private or public and created for NFL, NBA, MLB, hockey, college football, college basketball, and other sports, which will be, you know, you'll have to log onto the app to see what the other sports are. Join today and get started. Real money and fantasy supremacy awaits you. Visit NoHalftime.com for more information and to download the No Halftime app for your iPhone or Android device. If you want to receive $25 bonus, you can do so by entering B-ball at sign up. That's B-B-A-L-L at No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. JJ, I actually think this is a pretty cool concept they've got going over at No Halftime, where you can basically do a daily game type thing, but only play one player versus one player. And on tomorrow's show, maybe I'll get into the details of that just a little bit more, but I liked playing daily games, but oftentimes I just don't have enough time to go in and set a whole lineup. Like I get frustrated because there's four or five players that I really like, but I can't figure out how to get them all in and get right near the salary cap. And there's like ends up being two or three players that I don't really want to worry about that are on my team, and then those two or three players do poorly and I lose. So I like the idea of being able to do a one player daily games where I only have to worry about one player. Sort of simplifies my life.
Sounds like there's no limitation or no cap on who you can choose. So you can always pit the two best players against each other, or you can kind of go off the beaten path and go like Jeremy Lamb and Marvin Williams, for example.
Maybe we'll have to pit like two of the least productive players in the NBA against each other sometime and see how it plays out.
Oof.
So you go download the app, put in the B-ball code, and you can get $25. And then we'll have to start talking about who we're going to play against each other. All right. Back over to players that are owned in a lot of ESPN leagues, but rank outside. I cheated a little bit, but these guys are basically guys out of the top 150. Two of them are in the top 147, 149. So these are guys, JJ, that I am concerned about based on their fantasy value that they put up, based on their projections. I'm worried about, I think that each of these guys you kind of need to sit or potentially drop. So what if I read you a name and you tell me whether you think it's time to move on and drop them, or if we should just sit them this week and wait till next week. I hope that they recoup their fantasy value. Does that sound okay?
Certainly.
Enes Kanter ranks 149 in our ranking. He's owned in 85% of ESPN leagues.
I rotisserie, I'm holding on to him. I feel like that he's too valuable for the amount of points. Ooh, I don't see him taking the starting job anytime soon. And you know what's funny? And I was thinking about this today. People, like, when Ty Coburn was the Jazz coach, they wanted Kanter on the court over Marvin Williams. And now that he's with the Thunder, they don't want him on the court over Steven Adams. I don't know if there's, like, a parallel there, or just because we know who Enes Kanter is now, it's okay to kind of make that. But I just find it interesting that Ty Coburn was left out of the building and kind of fired for that. But
that's a good point.
I'd probably hold on to Kanter if I still had him at this point. I know the minutes are a problem, but I can give it another week and see what happens.
Okay. What about Jared Jack? Ranked 147 in our rankings. He's owned in 82% of ESPN leagues.
I'd maybe try to trade him first. I guess we're at a low point in his value. You're not going to like find five assists on the waiver wire. So.
Okay.
So I guess ride him while he's dealing, but I'm not really happy about it.
Do you feel the same way about Mo Williams, who ranks 155 and he's owned in 75% of ESPN leagues?
I've been trying to trade him since I drafted him.
Okay, and he lost.
Because I know there's a set date where he goes from looks like 28 minutes a night to maybe 20. Let's say Kyrie plays 30 minutes a night. Just because he's coming back from the knee injury or the knee surgery. Mm-hmm. So you're going to take away his minutes. I think with him, I'm going to hold on because he's producing now, unless there's someone I find on the waiver wire who has a longer. That's interesting. Like, because I don't think TJ McConnell is going to last past this month in terms of relevancy, but I think Mo Williams is kind of in that same bracket.
Right.
But I think I'd rather hold. So McConnell's the definite assist guy, and Mo Williams is kind of second on the team behind LeBron. I'd probably go McConnell if I had to choose between the two.
Yeah, I definitely would, just because I feel like there's a better chance that McConnell plays 30 minutes a game for the rest of the season than Mo Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no – even though you're saying Kendall Marshall's probably the starter – there's no situation where Mo Williams is the starter over Kyrie Irving. But I do feel like it's easy to imagine a scenario, even though it's not the most likely, where McConnell is the starter over Marshall. Does that make sense?
It makes too much sense.
Mm. That's what I like to do, man. All right. Jabari Parker ranks 198th in this week's rankings. He's owned in 74% of ESPN leagues. Do you just sit him out this week, or do you feel like it's time to drop him?
Okay, question. And I think you can confirm my suspicions. Now, standard ESPN leagues are 10 team leagues, right? That's the depth. Or is it 12 team leagues?
I think they do both. I think if you just go on and click, like, you don't change anything. I do think you get a 10 team league. Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of the point where I'm not concerned about Jabari Parker anymore. So we're talking 10 team. But you can hold on to him in a roto league if you want. I don't think I would even have drafted him in a head-to-head league and a 10-team ESPN league. I'm not really. I'm sure there's better options available. And the Bucks have, I mean, they started him in back-to-back games, I think. But I know they're going to cap his minutes for the foreseeable future. And he wasn't a very, we're talking 10 months removed from the torn ACL, and he wasn't really viable fantasy last year anyway. So I'm not too concerned about Parker right now.
All right. How do you feel about him? No, I'm probably not. I don't know that the ceiling is high enough to worry too much about him. I know he was the second pick in the draft, but I think until he starts playing 33 to 34 minutes a night and is completely healthy, I don't think he'll have much fantasy value until then. And even then, I'm not sure it's a top 50 player. And I'm not sure that happens this season. So there's just too many unknowns there. I think it's too unlikely that he gets to the point where his fantasy value is really very high. And I just don't know. Like, he's not ownable right now unless you can stash him somewhere, like you said, in a roto league. But in a head-to-head league, if I've got to use that spot, I have no problems dropping him. Next guy on the list is Tristan Thompson, ranks 202nd in our weekly ranks. He's owned in 68% of ESPN leagues. Are you okay with just sitting him out, or would you drop him?
I'm not a fan, so I wouldn't want him on my team.
Okay.
Which isn't good analysis, but if you're in a double-doubles league or an offensive rebound is one of your categories, then you should own Tristan Thompson. Otherwise, I'm going to pass.
Okay. Tony Parker, this is kind of an interesting one. He ranks 150th, and he is owned in 62% of ESPN leagues.
Oh, those are some bleak stats. See, I want to believe, kind of like X-Files, that he'll turn it around. But early in the season, the Spurs have kind of been, you know, erratic. And if I wasn't willing to hold on to Mo Williams, I'd... I don't know. I feel like if
this is a tricky one.
Yeah, I know it probably shouldn't be. I don't know who I'm dropping him for, but I'm probably finding alternatives in a head-to-head league if I can.
Okay. Aaron Afolo, we're ranking 168th, projecting to play 3 games this week. He's owned in 60% of ESPN leagues. What do you think?
Do you know what his middle name is?
No.
It's Drop.
Good enough for me. And last guy on the list, J.R. Smith, ranked 157th. He's owned in 58% of ESPN leagues. Is he out? I might have should have taken him out of this. I thought he was.
No, he didn't play today, but he might return this week.
Okay.
I think that's what they're shooting for. I think he was questionable today, but there's a possibility he could have played.
I see. What are you doing with J.R. Smith?
This is a tough one because I'm a fan, and I probably shouldn't say that as a Knicks fan and a J.R. fan, but I am. He's available in my 12-team head-to-head league right now. He cleared waivers. No one added him. And I don't need him on my team. So that's the problem. And he's been doing poorly enough that I want to add him, but I can't. That's the thing. So
yeah,
I feel like we're.
You think somebody in your league should be adding him though? Like sometimes your team just isn't arranged so that you can add certain players, but do you feel like he shouldn't be on your waiver wire?
Or
do
I
you
think
feel like
people,
it's okay that he's on your waiver wire?
I think people want to see him produce first before they pounce. And I think that's an okay strategy. Or you can be someone who's first to the wire and kind of sitting and waiting for him. I still think he should be owned because Shumpert is out. And I think they're playing Richard Jefferson and Jared Cunningham right now. And I think Smith can eat those minutes up, and it's just a matter of time. Well, far be it for me to say, but I feel like he can return. Last year he was top 50 value with the Cavaliers over those last 42 games. I feel like that's kind of what you're hoping for if you do add him.
Yeah. That kind of seems like a sad note to end the podcast on, but I think that's where we're going to sign off for today. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we go off?
Yeah, I probably have like a 5-minute thing on quality games this week, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So kind of when we talk about quality, like if we're not talking weekly, like if you're not setting your lineup at the beginning of the week, you're kind of moving your adding player, or you're changing your lineups throughout the week and making sure you get everyone in. And you typically have limits on the amount of add drops you can make. And this week, I guess, first of all, a quality game in my definition is any night on the schedule with no more than 7 games. And mathematically, that means every fantasy team in your league will have roughly 6 people active with 10 active bench spots, or 10 active spots and then 3 bench spots. So if you're going through and you're streaming and you want to find people, you're looking for people who, like I did, I added Manya Bialica because he's going to be able to play on those nights when I add him. And I want to make sure that if I do add someone, they're going to be in my lineup. So this week, the top number of quality games, we have the Timberwolves with 4 out of their 5 games. And then there are 4 teams, the Pistons, Warriors, Clippers, and Jazz, with 3 of their games out of 4 are quality games. So I just wanted to bring that up. And before I let you jump in, at the end of the week, so you're trying to get as many stats as possible, right? And you're trying to win your matchup.
Right.
The Pistons are the only team this week that plays on Saturday and Sunday. And you know, we talked about how the schedule was made earlier in the podcast, I think. Mm-hmm. This kind of scheduling only happens, it looks like, 6 times in the first 8 weeks. So for all 30 teams, it only happens 6 times. This is one of those times where you can take advantage of it. And then after week 8, NFL kind of dwindles down and we get more Saturday, Sunday kind of things.
So how do I take advantage of it? What's the strategy? Is to pick up a Pistons player like on Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, like if say you're behind in assists, you kind of know that Steve Blake is guaranteed 16 minutes a night, right? That's kind of the way Sam McGundy is going to run things. You're going to get Saturday and Sunday games from him with 1 add. So whoever you drop, whoever you were streaming before, they're off the docket. You add him, or you add Steve Blake in. The other guy we're thinking about is do you play Yahoo Leagues at all?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, in a standard Yahoo League, you have to add someone the day before if you want them on your active roster. So you would have to add this person on Friday night before the waivers clear, and then it resets. And I think on ESPN you can add them day of, correct?
Correct.
Okay. The purpose is just to accumulate as many stats as possible on those last, the last couple of days of the matchup and kind of help you win. And this week, I think Stanley Johnson will have to see how he does earlier in the week and kind of track that. But the Pistons end the week with the Clippers and the Lakers. So if you can get, 16 assists out of Steve Blake on those last 2 days, potentially, I don't know. Or if you can get 25 points out of Stanley Johnson because he plays the Lakers and maybe it's not competitive enough. I don't know, but that's just something to focus on at the end of the week.
Yeah, no, that's a great tip. I can't believe I found somebody else who believes in Stanley Johnson to come on the podcast.
No, I'm just like, he's,
I know what you're saying. That's the effect of having more games than everybody else is average or below average or waiver wire players become pretty valuable. Uh-huh. All right. Anything else you want to talk about, JJ?
I would say Alan Crabb, 15 points, 7 of 7 shooting tonight, and I'll sign off with that.
Excellent.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. And I don't know how long we went, but it feels feels like we just started. So thank you.
Good. Time goes by fast when you're having fun, right?
That's what I'm told.
Thank you very much, JJ, for coming on. I appreciate it. Appreciate nohalftime.com for sponsoring the podcast today. Appreciate all of you guys for listening. If you want to check out JJ's work, again, you can go to RotoWire, go to the RotoWire blog if you don't have a subscription, and check out his writing for free. If people want to talk to you directly, is there somewhere you want them to go, like Twitter or email or something that you want to share with people, or you just want them to go to the RotoWire page?
They can just look for me on Twitter.
Okay. Sure. How do we find you on Twitter?
Twitter.com.
Yeah. Twitter.com. And then where do I go?
JJ Callie Jr.
All right.
Yeah. So
cool.
Sure.
All right.
Mark, where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. And my, the Mark is spelled with a C, just like Mark Gasol.
Or Marky Mark.
Or Marky Mark. Absolutely. Or Mark, there's a lot of famous Marks with a C. Mark Jacobs is a famous, I think, women's fashion designer. Maybe men's too, I don't know. Anyway, for everybody involved in the podcast, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you again tomorrow night. Probably be talking daily games with a new guest host. So look forward to that. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you later. Bye, you guys.